The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are live again this week.
We are.
Is this, what, third straight week?
I think so. Yeah.
Just getting too busy on the weekend.
We are a little behind, so we don't have the time. But hey, we're here now, and that's what's important. So last week we talked about Indiana Jones.
We did. Right? We talked about the first three, and we tried to cover the fourth.
Right, and we ran out of time, and I hadn't finished watching the fourth movie yet. So I've done, and now I want to talk about it again. So
okay.
We're going to go a little more in-depth than number four. All right, is number four the best Indiana Jones movie? No, it's not. Is it a great movie? No. Is it a good movie? Meh, not really. Is it as bad as everyone says? I don't think so.
Okay.
I really don't. I don't think it deserves all the flack.
I already said that I thought Temple of Doom was the worst.
Because, so, I feel like it followed a natural progression of story. Because you can't go back and do something super similar.
So, amongst the people that we know, you are trying to play devil's advocate. You're trying to justify the unjustifiable.
I am.
Okay.
And as we mentioned last week, a lot of our people deny that this movie even exists. They say, no, there's three Indiana Jones movies and that's it. But I don't think that's fair, because...
Really tick them off and just tell them, yeah, there's Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade, and the Crystal Skull. That's the three.
That's the three. Because, yeah, did not like Temple of Doom at all. But the thing about this movie is that, okay, so like you mentioned last week, he seems to kind of have superpowers in this one. Like, he does a lot of things.
And I came up with a reason why he seems to be a little more powerful.
Yes, you did.
Last Crusade. Uh-huh. He drank from the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to have some sort of special thing from drinking from the Holy Grail.
Right, because the knight says, you know, it only works if you stay on this side of the seal. And because that's the price of immortality. But who's to say it didn't give him something? I mean, he's not going to live forever because he didn't stay in the temple, you know, where all the other grail, grails were. So he's not going to be immortal, but maybe he did. Yeah, maybe he was infused with some kind of magic. You know what? Things like this happen all the time in movies like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. But again,
you're making a play for it with that. Okay.
So, and even if he didn't have that, which is an awesome explanation, these kinds of movies always have to up their game. And so it's expected that they're going to be bigger, faster, stronger. So, yeah, they're going to make him a little more agile than he was before.
So in the first one, he's going after the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the Temple of Doom, where he, you know, it's the people with the Kalima and all that stuff.
Yeah, he encounters the ancient tribe with mystical powers.
Yeah, and then the Last Crusade is for the Crusades of finding the Holy Grail.
Right.
And so I felt that those are all very worldly, archaeological things. Mm-hmm. Like, they're supernatural, but they're things that an archaeologist should be able to find if they exist, blah, blah, blah. And I felt that maybe the fourth one should have went with, like, finding the lost city of gold in El Dorado, you know, or maybe the Fountain of Youth or something.
But I don't think that would have...
I feel like Aliens kind of took a left turn.
I don't know. For me, I felt that Aliens was a natural next step because it needed to be bigger. It needed to be more... impressive. It needed to shock, you know, that the audience needs something that it hasn't seen before. And I feel that going after El Dorado or the Fountain of Youth would have been a parallel to the other movies. It wouldn't have been a step forward.
Well, I feel that the first three were all religious in some way. Like, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, and even Temple of Doom, they were worshiping some sort of god. Like, it was a religious thing, and I feel that Aliens don't really fit into that same kind of category.
I don't know. I think it's, I think some people do view the supernatural and, you know, life on other planets as a different kind of religious experience.
What do you think if he would have, went to like Egypt and in the tombs, they may have done like a mummy crossover.
But again, I think that would have been sliding back to the original stories. Now, is this fourth movie necessary? Absolutely not. They absolutely could have stopped after Last Crusade, because it's right there in the title, The Last Crusade. I realize it's not a reference to Indiana, but it could have been. And it would have been fine. But I think that the way they made the movie is, it's fine. It's fine. Like, if they had to bring it back, then I think that they did. I think they put a good effort forward.
Not even swinging from a vine, Shia LaBeouf. Swinging with the monkeys.
Okay, so I'm not bothered by the fact that he was swinging on vines, because I think that's a very action movie.
It's very
movie
green
thing
screen,
too.
Though.
Well, yeah. But I feel that the monkey swinging with him and then attacking Cate Blanchett for him was a little much.
A little bit, you think?
A little bit. And, well, like I'm saying, this is not my favorite movie. I did not love this movie. I actually, it took me over 2 weeks to watch it.
If you're trying to justify the unjustifiable, you got to be able to commit.
But I don't think it was any worse or any less than any of the other movies. And like you mentioned, the vine swinging is very green screened. Well, the entire series is very green screened. And so,
yeah, but the rest of them came out, all the other three came out pre-Jurassic Park.
True.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of things that happened since then. This one came out in 2008 or 2009, 2008, I believe.
Well, the aliens at the end were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because they have the crystal skull that they take back, and then they go into the room where there's tons of these crystal full alien skeletons that are extremely reminiscent of the aliens from Independence Day.
Except, maybe they're the same ones.
Well, their heads weren't as fanned out. Like the aliens in Independence Day, their skull goes back and then kind of goes out in a fan shape. Whereas these aliens, they look more like cone heads after a fast run.
Hey, I'm just saying, there's a lot of different races on Earth. Maybe wherever this planet is, that's a different form of race.
Maybe, okay. But anyway, so they go into the room.
We're just linking all the movies together.
All the movies. So they go in the big room with all these crystal skeletons that are all intact, and then there's one without its head. So, of course, the skull goes on that, and everything is groovy. And Cate Blanchett shows up and wants to know things, and wants to know everything that these creatures know.
Even though she's Russian, it's still very much like a Nazi.
Yes.
Tell me something.
Tell me something. Tell me everything. And so the arena, the thing they're in, starts to crumble and collapse, and a portal to another dimension opens up. So, you know, it's opening it up for a Rick and Morty crossover. And then the skeletons start molding into each other and then become a full being with skin and everything. And Cate Blanchett learns so much that her eyes explode. I don't know. I just didn't hate it as much as people say they do. I don't know. I think South Park was being too hard on it.
I'm pretty sure we've lost about half the audience just by using up this much time on this movie.
I am entitled to my opinion.
You are.
And that is my opinion, that this movie is not as bad as everyone says it is.
Well, we've been really busy.
Yeah.
And so with this episode, we don't really have a lot of goal to get to.
We're just going to talk.
Yeah. One of the things that we did over the weekend, we went to San Francisco, and for the first time ever, I went to Alcatraz Island.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. I'm looking forward to actually going back, because we went with family, and it was the special time of the year where they open up the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. There's several gardens on the island.
And it was beautiful. And so it was everything on the outside. The tour was like almost 2 hours just touring the outside garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful, but I mean, seeing San Francisco from that point in the world, you know, is just really neat. Mm-hmm. You get to see both bridges, you know, from a whole different point, the Golden Gate and the Bay Bridge, and to see San Francisco look really small, actually. Like, you can see it from point A to point B. Like, you see the whole
peninsula. Yeah, from Bay Bridge to Golden Gate, yeah.
So it's really nice.
But you know what? There are a lot of great movies set on that little island.
There is.
So let's talk about those.
Yeah, let's do that. You want to take a break and then just talk about that
when
we come back?
Take a break and then talk about The Rock.
Yeah, let's do that. So we've been talking about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull for way longer than we should.
Sorry.
And we are now going to talk about Alcatraz when we come back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Renting Kia, inviting you to clean up with big savings during Renting Kia's spring cleanup sale.
Kia, America's best value gives you more, like America's best warranty and great gas mileage.
It's the 51 mile per gallon 2018 Kia Niro, highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017. You have got to drive this car.
And you'll clean up on a new 2018 Kia Optima, EPA rated 36 miles per gallon highway, lots of room for your friends and family, and a ride you're going to love.
The 2018 Kia Sorento, highest-ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017, is available now and at a great sale price.
And you'll really clean up with complimentary lifetime oil changes when you purchase your next vehicle at Redding Kia. So come on, take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy at your Kia Superstore.
Redding Kia's spring cleanup sale on now. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. We both own Kias, and we love them.
Redding Kia, Facebook, Instagram, reddingkia.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, April 20th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Residents of a swanky retirement home are looking at financial ruin thanks to a crooked advisor, but see a way to exact revenge, recoup their losses, and stay out of jail, maybe. Join the fun as the Riverfront Playhouse presents Jack of Diamonds, a comedy by Marsha Cash and Douglas E. Hughes, directed by Leon and Kathy Compson. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 10th through 31st.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking about Alcatraz. Before we get into that, I'd like to give a shout out to our buddy Travis, who's making us dinner. As soon as we get off of this, as soon as we get off of this show, we're going to go have some ribs.
Yeah, we are.
And it's not just any ribs.
Oh, no, they're special.
He has been collecting the Szechuan sauce from McDonald's feverishly since they released it. And so now he's making Szechuan sauce ribs.
I'm excited.
I cannot wait to try this.
They're going to be delicious.
So I wanted to say hi, and we'll be on our way because we want to try these ribs.
Yeah.
Szechuan sauce ribs!
Okay. Rick would be proud.
Yes. So we are trying this. So now we're going to be trying those ribs. But I just got the ribs on the brain. But we'll get back now. We're talking about Alcatraz.
Yeah. So there's been a couple of movies that were filmed about and filmed on Alcatraz. I think one of the most famous ones is from 1979, Escape from Alcatraz, which is the Clint Eastwood movie.
Which isn't the Birdman from Alcatraz,
no,
right?
No, that's different. So this is a story about three inmates who attempted an escape in 1962, and whether they succeeded or not is actually unknown because they were
That's a true story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's based on a true story, and they were never found. So there's rumors that the prison guards were sent a postcard from Brazil, and apparently pictures, because it's two brothers and then another guy, and apparently there was photographs of the brothers in Brazil, and facial recognition says that, yes, that's them, and so they survived. And then there's other stories that a ship coming under the Golden Gate right after the escape saw a dead body floating in an Alcatraz jumpsuit, so it's unlikely any of them survived. I mean, that is cold, cold water. And they are far from anything.
So they saw the body, but they don't have the body?
That's just, like I said, rumors. So it's unclear on whether they
escaped. You're a ship. You don't have a net to go get a dead body?
Who knows? But the first time I visited Alcatraz was when I was in sixth grade. We went to a field trip in San Francisco, and we watched this movie before we went and did our tour of Alcatraz. And it's a really good movie. It's a really interesting movie. It's all shot in black and white. And it chronicles their planning and execution of this escape. And reading some of the information online,
I've seen this movie before.
Oh yeah, it's a classic.
It was in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a classic. But one of the real interesting things is, so they shot the movie. Like I said, it came out in 1979. Mm-hmm. At that point, Alcatraz was already a national park, and so tourists were there. So every 30 minutes, a boatload of tourists will come to the island. And they got so distracting that they had to shut down production and had to film at night because they weren't able to film with all those people there. And there are a lot of people.
Well, I find it interesting that they actually filmed everything on Alcatraz. You think mm-hmm. that they would have built, like, sound stages
yeah.
with, like, fake Mm-hmm. or, you know, replicas of that. That way they wouldn't have to worry about that.
It's really interesting. So there's three movies that we're going to be discussing that mm-hmm. all take place on Alcatraz. All of them were actually filmed on Alcatraz.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I really like that. And if you're ever in San Francisco and you have the opportunity, you should absolutely go out to Alcatraz. It is a fascinating place. And I would highly recommend some kind of a tour, because you can go and you can just walk around. You don't have to be on any kind of timetable. They have led tours by docents, which is what we did over the weekend, as we did the garden tour. And our tour guide told us some amazing stories. And they actually showed us pictures of Alcatraz throughout the ages, going back to the early 1800s.
When
it was just a rock.
Bird poop.
And so it's really a man-made island because they built it up, all those hills, you know, they put them there because it was originally just a rock. But what's really cool is that it, even in its inception, it was always a prison because it was viewed by the local native tribes as a haunted, that evil spirits haunted it. And so they didn't like to go to the island. They'd only get near it for fishing, or that's where they would put people who broke tribal law. So it's been a prison its entire existence, except for the short time it was a military base. But it's a very, very fascinating place. So they filmed Escape from Alcatraz there. They did a lot of night shoots because of the tourists, and they didn't use any stunt people. So Clint Eastwood and his two fellow actors, who were actually cast because of their athletic builds and physiques, they were doing all their own stunts. And there was a couple of times the director thought he lost them in the current of the sea. So it's an intense movie.
Yeah.
And I'd highly recommend it. Then the next movie in 1995 is Murder in the First. Now, I haven't seen this one.
I have. This is a fantastic movie.
But looks amazing.
Oh, it is. This is the story of what closed Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go to Alcatraz, at least the tour that we were on, your aunt said that it was felt like a very sanitized version of what Alcatraz must have been like.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if you watch Murder in the First, there was a lot of corruption and just abuse going on there. And this movie's fantastic. And this is the story that led to the closing of Alcatraz as a prison.
So it stars Christian Slater,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Bacon,
mm-hmm.
and Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right there, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's, yeah, Kevin Bacon is a mentally challenged man who's being abused, and Christian Slater is the lawyer taking on the case that he didn't think he was going to, that he couldn't win, and he, you know, he didn't really want to do it. But he realized that, you know, the problems that he had. And, yeah, it's so good. Like, it's a very serious movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks amazing. And, yeah, so like I said, Christian Slater, Kevin Bacon, Gary Oldman. And it's also got William H. Macy, Stephen Tobolowsky, Kira Sedgwick. I mean, this is a stellar cast.
Oh, it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, so absolutely. Absolutely look into that one.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is, so we went from Escape from Alcatraz in 79 all the way to 95 for Murder in the First. And then the next year, in 96, they came out with The Rock.
They must have put some sort of tax break on Alcatraz.
Maybe.
During that time frame.
Maybe.
Because who wants to do two movies at Alcatraz, one being a true story and one a very fictional story?
Very not true story. Insanely not true story. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, The Rock it's a fun movie.
I have not seen it.
Oh, you got to see it. So it's Michael Bay,
which probably is the reason why I haven't seen it.
But it's one of his favorites of the movies he's made. And it's Nick Cage and Sean Connery and Ed Harris.
All right. You're telling me I got to get off The Rock or am I getting on The Rock? I don't know which, but I'm ready to do either one of those things.
So quick rundown. Ed Harris is mad that the U.S. government won't pay benefits to surviving members of military agents who die in covert ops. And okay. So he has been protesting it for years, so finally gets so fed up, he takes Alcatraz hostage with 81 tourists on it. Which begs the question, how did they get so little tourists when he took hostage? Because there are hundreds of people on each boatload that go onto this thing. But, okay, so there's 81 people on the island, and he takes them hostage and threatens to launch some nerve gas into San Francisco if his demands are not met. So Nick Cage is a biochemist who works for the FBI, because of course he is. Because
that totally makes sense.
And he knows how to disarm the bomb, but he doesn't know how to get into Alcatraz. So, hey, let's bring in an old inmate of Alcatraz who escaped it, because if he can escape, he can get back in.
Why did they not get Clint Eastwood for this role?
He probably wouldn't have wanted to do it. So in comes Sean Connery, who is a British intelligence agent.
Just when I thought it out, they pulled me back in.
So he was an inmate at Alcatraz. He escaped. He was escaped long enough to have a kid, because, of course, there has to be a girl somewhere. And then he was recaptured, and now they've let him go so that he can help Nick Cage get back onto Alcatraz.
So let me guess. He had a daughter, which is the love interest for Nick Cage's bioengineer.
I'm pretty sure
oh,
that is.
It's good, huh?
It is good. I promise it's good. I promise.
I'm pretty sure he only got out long enough not to have the kid, but to go on Celebrity Jeopardy.
True.
Isn't that right, Trebek?
There's some fan theories that this character is an old James Bond. That it's the same. It's the same character, because it's British intelligence and Sean Connery. So, yeah.
cool.
So, anyway, what I found fascinating about this movie is that it's written by the credited writers are David Weisberg, Douglas Cook, and Mark Rossner. But the uncredited writers are Quentin Tarantino and Aaron Sorkin.
Okay, you're pulling me back in with
right?
this because
right?
it's Aaron. I legitimately love everything Aaron Sorkin writes.
So, there. Now you have to watch it.
Fine.
But they got lucky on their production because just like Escape from Alcatraz, they were filming on Alcatraz and they had to deal with tourists. But in December of 1995, when they were filming, the government went into a partial shutdown and Alcatraz got shut down as a national park. And so they had free rein. They didn't have to worry about the tourists coming in because the tourists weren't allowed.
So how did they get to stay?
Because the tourist part of it, it being run as a national park,
mm-hmm.
is on the expense of the government, and the government wasn't paying for that. Their expense being there is paid by the production company.
Oh.
So they were allowed to. So they were allowed to stay by the park because they couldn't. Nothing was going on there anyway, so they allowed them to stay on and continue shooting.
Tricky girl.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that's a fun movie. But we heard a story from our tour guide that of a man who should have his own movie.
Well, on the garden, you're able to peel off from the garden tour if you want to just, if you're like, I'm done with this, and go see Alcatraz. But he was telling the story in segments, and I literally just kept wanting to catch up to make sure I didn't miss any part of the story of the guy who built the gardens. He was an inmate. His name was Elliot Michener. And he, when he was out for recreation or something, he ended up finding a key to Alcatraz that one of the guards dropped, you know.
In the dirt.
Yeah. And he found it, and he took it to the warden so that way, you know, they would have the key. And he ended up becoming one of the most trusted inmates ever on Alcatraz.
Which is ironic for what he was there for. So it was fascinating to me that you think Alcatraz, you think the baddest of the bad, right?
I'm thinking murderers.
Murderers, rapists. Elliot, right? His name is Elliot.
Elliot Michener, huh?
Elliot was there because he was a counterfeiter. And he actually got a hold of some plates and started printing his own money. So
like Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can.
Exactly. So he wasn't a violent crime criminal, but he was big in the counterfeit trade. But
which is a federal crime.
Right. But the reason he ended up at Alcatraz is because he tried to escape every prison he was put in.
He didn't try. He did.
He succeeded. He actually escaped every prison he was put in. So they said, oh, you want to escape? Here. Escape from here.
And he plotted. He freely admitted that at the beginning. He started plotting. But then once he gave the key back, which if you're wanting to escape, I guess, you know, what are you going to do with even if you have the key? You just open the door and you're stuck.
Look, I got the key, so obviously I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah. So he decided that since he was trusted, they let him build the gardens, and he got to work out there. He loved the gardens, and then there's the reason why all this foliage is out there, and it's just gorgeous. And he made friends with the warden's wife, and she liked the ponies. She mm-hmm. liked to bet on the ponies, and so she would take his bets, and if he won, then she would go take money and buy him seeds to plant more in the garden, you know, candies or whatever. And the tour guide was telling us these stories in segments. I'm like, I want to know what happens to this guy. So by the end of the tour, he's showing all the points where he had built a tool shed that he used to keep all the gardening equipment, you know, this whole patch of lawn that was there that wasn't there before, and you saw before and after and showed him in the garden. It was just amazing.
Because he designed all the garden. He
mm-hmm.
he determined where everything goes. Because, like we said earlier, Alcatraz is a rock. Nothing is native to the island.
No water.
Everything had to be brought in. Yeah,
water.
Even water.
Yeah.
So he brought in all of these different seeds and
the
all these
soil,
different flowers.
Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he at the end of the tour, you learn that Elliot Michener was there from 1941 to 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got transferred in 1950 to serve out the rest of his sentence in Texas, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, because I want to know, like, did he die in prison? What happened? He got rehabilitated, reformed, and he got married. He got, children.
He got a job being the main maintenance person at a golf course, and mm-hmm. kept up their lawns.
Yeah, so the garden just kept up. So the garden became a lifelong career at that point. And in 2004, when they started, they picked up the national park thing and they started to do the rejuvenating the garden area, there was a guy there talking about the garden, explaining how all the things worked in the garden and where everything is. And they realized that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He was like 80 something years old, mm-hmm. and he made it back. So he was able to come back and see his garden and talk about it and everything. He's since passed, because that was in, like I said, he was there from 41 to 50, and he was in his 80s in the early 2000s. So yeah, I think he would have been about 100, if I remember right. He'd be about 100 years old right now.
Yeah.
But that would make it a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of my favorite stories was that, so he became the trusted houseboy of the warden. Mm-hmm. So he would actually go into the warden's mansion and clean and, you know, keep up the residence. And he was in the attic one day, and he found a still, you know, for making moonshine, which was built by one of the previous houseboys. And he actually dismantled it and hid it in different parts of the island because he didn't want to be blamed for building this. And after he left Alcatraz, they were doing an inventory of his cell and then all of the different sheds that he had built. And they actually did find pieces of a flotation device
that he was starting. And they're like, we're really glad he changed his mind, because then we went and had all these gardens. So yeah, he was thinking about it, but he just loved it so much that, you know, he decided to just serve his time and enjoy it while he was there.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be made into a movie. I think that would be a great story.
Oh, yeah.
To show from the time he gets in there till, you know, he's 80 years old, returning to the place where, he was imprisoned, but he was also set free in a way because he found his calling. And he learned all he knew about gardening from reading the back of the seed packets and mm-hmm. reading books. And that's where he found his life's passion that he was able to continue on. I mean, he's the poster child of the prison system. This is what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to take people who have broken the law and rehabilitate them and put them on the path.
And it's a nice little give and take. It shows that, you know, if you use positive reinforcement instead of negative reinforcement, and if the people are willing to accept the positive reinforcement, rehabilitation is possible. It's just a really, yeah, I'd love to see that movie if they made it.
Yeah, so Hollywood, get on that.
Get on that.
The Elliot Michener story.
So we've covered all three movies about Alcatraz.
Yes.
And the one we think should be made.
Yes.
But yeah, it's gorgeous. I plan to go back because we didn't really spend any time in the jail.
Yeah, we walked through the main cell block, but that was about it. And that was only to get to the other side of the island so we could take more pictures.
Yeah, we spent so much time 2 days prior that our feet were killing us. And we're like, okay, well, we come back a lot for Giants baseball games.
Mm.
So we'll come back and do this again because, yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, we'll go back for, and they have a great audio tour where you just put on the headphones and it tells you where to walk around the prison, and you get a really an in-depth look at all the cells and the and everything. And it's fascinating. It's an amazing national park, and I'm very glad that it's been kept up over the years.
Yeah. Well, so we will take another break. You are listening to We're a Little Behind. Well, I see that's what happens when you have live radio. I was supposed to have some music go. Okay, so this, the music, there you go. And now we're going to take a break. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. We'll be right back.
KCNR 1460 is your town hall of the Shasta County Airways, locally owned and part of your community. Shasta County Veterans Service Officer Celestina Traver is our in-studio guest with updates on benefits available to those who have served in the armed forces. And it's time for the annual Safari Club International Banquet. Find out all about this yearly event that promotes responsible hunting practices on the air or streaming live at KCNR1460.com. KCNR Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Residents of a swanky retirement home are looking at financial ruin thanks to a crooked advisor, but see a way to exact revenge, recoup their losses, and stay out of jail, maybe. Join the fun as the Riverfront Playhouse presents Jack of Diamonds, a comedy by Marsha Cash and Douglas E. Hughes, directed by Leon and Kathy Compson. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 10th through 31st.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking about a hodgepodge of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, it's just two topics, but it feels like it's a lot. You know what? Let's really get in the hodgepodge. Let's just throw a whole bunch of stuff out there.
All right. Well, make sure that you come visit us at www.gomezcast.com, where you can get links to everything that we talk about in all of our episodes. You can also listen to back episodes if you happen to be a little bit behind. We have all of our episodes available for streaming and downloading. And you can find us on iTunes or Amazon Alexa. So if you have Alexa, you can enable the MyCast skill and then say, Alexa, ask Mycast to play We're a Little Behind, and it will play you the most recent episode. Now, the most recent episode is the last episode of 2017, and we are currently working on getting more episodes coming next week. We'll have a couple of more episodes available in iTunes and Alexa.
Let them peek behind the curtain. Why is it not until next week?
Oh, because I have a limit to how much I can put up there, and I'm getting there because we have a new server that is allowing us to be on iTunes, and they limit how many you can upload in a month. So eventually, I'll be up to date and be able to upload everything, but. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time. So next week we'll have a whole bunch of new episodes on iTunes.
We're on iTunes. We're Alexa-enabled.
Mm-hmm. So we're soon to be on Spotify. Not quite yet, but we're working on it.
Okay.
So, but you can listen to all of our episodes, going back to episode one, on our website at gomezcast.com. Come over and give us a look. And you can see our mascot, Walby. And I have been having a lot of fun putting Walby into posters of various things that we talk about. So head on over to our website and see where Walby will end up next.
And it's a really easy website, gomezcast.com.
Also follow us on Facebook because we're always posting information about our episodes there, and that's where you can also follow Walby on his various adventures. So Facebook, you know, and search for We're a Little Behind.
Yeah, and interact with us.
Absolutely. Drop us a message. Post on our wall.
Say something we should be watching or catching up on or discussing.
That's right. Tell me how wrong I am about Indiana Jones.
No, trust me, you will be getting those. You'll be getting those comments. I think we've been doing this since early October of 2017.
Yeah.
And it's now a running joke that we're a little behind with what's that? The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Still have not watched it myself.
Is Lord of the Rings going to become our Matt Damon?
Yes.
Sorry, Lord of the Rings, we ran out of time.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm planning to do. Sorry, Kevin, ran out of time to watch Lord of the Rings. No. Yeah, that'll be the plan.
Someday. We'll get there.
But we also do, on Mondays, we do trivia at the Sweet Spot.
At Sweet Spot.
We actually go to the trivia at the Sweet Spot. Yeah, we play.
We play. Yeah, so if you're in the greater Reading area, head over to Sweet Spot on Monday nights at 6:30 and have
some... Hilltop Drive.
Hilltop Drive, some awesome trivia. So this is the funnest pub trivia we've done. We've done trivia at a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And this is by far our favorite. One reason is that it's not just, here's a question, write down the answer. It's made up of six rounds, and every round is a little different. Mm-hmm. So you'll have general knowledge, which is just, I'll ask a question and you answer it. And then there is the common bond round, where he'll ask questions, nine questions, and the questions don't have anything to do with each other, but the answers are all somehow related. And so the last one is,
What's the common bond?
There's the who am I round, which he'll give you 10 clues to a person, real or fictional, alive or dead, and you have to pick who it is. You have to guess who it is he's talking about. The earlier you guess, the more points you get.
Yeah. So if you get on the first clue, 10 points. And then the next one, 9 points, and every clue he gives you knocks it down by one, so that's always fun. He started a new round last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was before and after, so he would give you two clues that would then tie together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think my favorite one was the clue was, this is a casino game used by dealing out cards, and your goal is to get to 21,
and the star of School of Rock.
Yeah, and it was Black Jack Black.
Yeah, so really, really, really fun. There's usually a listening round, mm-hmm. and
he'll play like sounds or songs, and you got to say what they are.
Yeah,
last night was awesome because since he added the new round of before and after, he did not do the common bond. So we're like, oh, okay, so we got rid of common bond. Nope, he made the listening round the common bond. So all nine of the sounds and songs had a connection, and you had to name what the song connections were. Yeah, I was like, way to bring it around.
So he played a song, and your job was to figure out the band. So you didn't have to know the song. You just had to write down the band. And we figured it out by the second or third clue that all of the bands were animals. So you had the monkeys and the Beatles and the scorpions.
The eagles and all, yeah.
Eagles, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And then there's the list round, which is one of our least favorite rounds, which is he just asks you one question and you have to write 10 answers. So last night's was, according to the American... What was it? American Council
United
of
States,
Apples?
Yeah, something or other.
What are 10 of the 15 best-selling
apples in the
types
United States.
Of apples?
Yeah.
So you had the list, you know, Gala and Granny Smith, Golden Delicious, Red Delicious, you know, all those.
Definitely.
Jazz. I was excited to get jazz. So it's a lot of fun. So.
And I think we were remiss. It's hosted by our friend C.J. DeAngelis.
Yes.
So if you're in Reading, like you said... Go to the Sweet Spot Monday nights, 6:30 p.m. You get some. They do happy hour,
mm-hmm.
And so yeah, absolutely check out that trivia because we've done a lot around here, and his is by far the most fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yummy food, yummy drinks. They got beer, they got wine, they got gelato.
Put a team together. It's super simple, and it's free.
And it's free, and you get prizes.
Yeah,
they're sponsored by Escape Reading, and so there's some. They have
which is an escape room.
Gift cards for an escape room in town, mm-hmm. which is awesome. There's usually some kind of prize from Sweet Spot, whether it be cupcakes or cookies. And then there's mystery prizes.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's funny that we're talking about this and they're sponsored. But yeah, Escape Reading, which is a great escape room here in town, sponsors them. So yeah, free to play and you can get some fabulous prizes.
And if you go on Facebook and you like Sweet Spot Trivia, you get a free answer every Monday. Well, about noon on Mondays, he will post a free answer to one of the rounds.
We should link that on ours.
We will absolutely link that.
Yeah, so you get... See, but you could not make it simpler. You get a free answer and everything.
So, speaking of things to do in Reading, we had an ad earlier play for the current Riverfront Playhouse production of Jack of Diamonds. So if you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, absolutely.
This is the last weekend.
It's a fun show.
Which means you have two chances to see this show, Friday night and Saturday night. After that, it's done.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this after March 31st, sorry.
You're out of luck.
You missed out. But it's a fun show. It's funny. We've seen it, and absolutely go check it out. You can get tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net
mm-hmm.
or at the door, but make sure you go fast. Cause
or you can get them at Enjoy the Store.
You can go to Enjoy the Store and get them there, too.
That is the official box office to get tickets when the show is not actually happening.
That's right.
So that's a good way to do it. It's a fun show. I kind of described it before I saw it, and I'll stick with it. It's kind of like Ocean's 11 meets Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fair.
That's fair.
Fair-ish.
Fair-ish. Yeah, it's fun. It's got some great actors in it. They do a really good job, and it's a fun story, and it's just hijinks at the retirement home.
Don Tamblyn plays the lead of Jack, and commitment there. Shaved his head.
That's right.
He shaved his head.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I do it on a regular basis, so, like, whatevs, but, you know, he normally has very long hair,
mm-hmm.
so he got rid of that.
Yeah, he did. It was intense. So, yeah, check it out, riverfrontplayhouse.net, and we're a little gomezcast.com. So all kinds of stuff to look at online.
Yeah, and, you know, and coming up this next month is the Cool April Nights car show.
Yeah, there's lots to do in Reading right now.
Yeah,
it's a good time to be in Reading.
So, yeah, it's the one time a year where it's not baking hot,
mm-hmm.
and it's not being rained out. So, catch this one shiny little month.
our version of spring.
Mm-hmm.
We have to cram everything into that one month.
Yeah, you know, we still got about 5 minutes left, and I'm still wanting those ribs.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
So something else we've talked about on the show a couple of times is Fantasy Movie League.
Oh, yeah. I spent way more time today trying to figure out my league than I should have.
I have not. I looked at it. I got overwhelmed, and I had to think about it later.
I put a lot of thought into mine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So who'd you go with?
I went with Ready Player One, and it's taken up over half the money.
Which is going to be an amazing... I'm really looking forward to this movie, but I'm very scared of this movie. Because we've read the book, and it's a great book. Great book. Mm-hmm. And I am a little afraid of what they've done to the story. Visually, it's going to be amazing, and there's no doubt about that. The trailers for this movie look gorgeous. But they also show me things that make me a little worried about the storyline. So hopefully Steven can pull it out. I mean, Spielberg has made some really good movies, but he also made Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So, you know, like,
did
you
he
know,
direct
way.
That one?
I believe he did, yeah.
Okay. So my fantasy league right now has one Ready Player One, two Black Panthers, and four Paul, Apostle of Jesus.
Wow, you're bringing back Black Panther, huh?
Apostle of Christ. Yeah. Yeah, it's the price where it went down. And I can get two of them, and it's still pulling enough box office money where I think it's going to be okay. And I went with four, Paul, Apostle of Christ, because it is Easter weekend, and I feel there's going to be a lot of people wanting to see that movie, with Jim Caviezel reprising his role as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Seems like a good call, and yeah. It was pretty cheap, so I actually ended up having to leave one of my theaters open.
Wow. Yeah, so if you haven't gotten on board yet, if you have a smartphone, you can get the Fantasy Movie League app.
Mm-hmm.
Download it to your phone. It's free. And then it is like fantasy football for movie geeks.
Yes.
You get $1,000 a week, and you have 8 theaters that you need to fill. So you have this imaginary theater, and it has 8 screens, and you have to decide what you want to play. And each movie, of course, has a cost to it, and so you can't go over $1,000. And then over the weekend, you see how good
your
it does at the
did.
Box office, and then it tabulates how much it earned.
We even have a league for this show.
We do.
So if you are a fan of this show and you get the app, you can join our league called the We're a Little Behind League, and it requires a secret code to get in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a password to get in to this. And I hope you can remember, it is just 4 simple letters, WALB.
We're a little behind.
4 letters, that's the code, get you into our league.
And then you can match up against us. And I got to tell
I'm usually either number one, and I've a couple of weeks I've been beaten by a few of our friends, but I'm doing pretty good. I held number one spot last week.
I am terrible at this game.
So
it's really fun, but I'm terrible.
So if you're listening to this, join the Fantasy Movie League. We're on there every week.
Mm-hmm.
Join our league, and if you can beat me, you get bragging rights.
There you go.
And fabulous prizes. Nope, just bragging rights.
Actually, on the app itself, there are prizes.
Yeah, if you join one of the other leagues.
In the main league, if you do well enough for enough months, then you can win movie tickets. So there is a potential for actual prizes.
Yeah, so do that thing.
Absolutely. It's another thing to do in Reading.
Yeah.
You can do it from anywhere.
Yeah, this isn't just Reading. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or on Alexa in New York, in Florida, mm-hmm. Texas, I'm just listening to stuff because I'm doing that stretch thing.
Stretch.
Where you stretch, you know, you pull, you stretch. So yeah, absolutely. And join our league.
That's right.
Get on our Facebook. We don't take your information, although Facebook might.
this is true. But hey, go to our website. There's a contact us there. Tell us what we should be watching. Is there a series? Is there a movie? Is there a TV show that you love to talk about and it's your favorite? Let us know, and
you know
we'll talk about it on our show.
You know what we're planning?
What are we planning?
We are planning maybe a two episode show.
Ooh.
The Fast and the Furious franchise.
Oh, that's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So stick around for that in probably a few weeks.
Yeah. Well, you know what else we have coming up? Baseball season.
Baseball season.
It is almost baseball season. We can practically taste the hot dogs.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a salute to baseball episode where we're going to talk about all of our favorite baseball movies, and there are tons of those.
That one may take up two episodes, too.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of baseball movies.
Because put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Maybe we'll talk about our favorite team. We have a couple of friends who are Giants
aficionados.
Yeah, they really get into it.
Yeah. So be sure to join us here next week,
yes.
Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and stream or download our prior episodes at gomezcast.com.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you need to do. And that brings us to the end of the show. You have been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
Because everything is awesome.
Residents of a swanky retirement home are looking at financial ruin thanks to a crooked advisor, but see a way to exact revenge, recoup their losses, and stay out of jail, maybe. Join the fun as the Riverfront Playhouse presents Jack of Diamonds, a comedy by Marsha Cash and Douglas E. Hughes, directed by Leon and Kathy Compson. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 10th through 31st.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.